Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Meredith takes your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Menigan flying the ship and texting like crazy. Browns are looking for an offensive coordinator. Clint Kubiak, the latest. He's a young guy, 37 years old.
Well, now you have me intrigued. Who are you texting? Like, what are you doing? Now, I wouldn't even have thought of
He's texting sources.
But you, like, when you
don't say who it is.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, like, okay, so people are driving
NFL
around.
NFL sources.
So here's what I see. Like, if I'm driving around, I'm listening to our show, and Jeff goes, hey, he's texting like crazy. What's the first thought you have?
He has to pick up milk and bread on the way home?
No. Who is he texting? And why is it so important that Jeff's saying this while we're on the air? Again,
Menigan's always working, man.
I know. But
you know that.
So
why we're lucky to have him here.
You're trying to get us information, other good stuff?
You know, sometimes we get some decent information around here every so often that we hint at. You just got to pay attention to what we're saying.
Yeah. I think these three, and I agree with Scott. I threw out Daryl Bevel, Clint Kubiak, Tommy Rees as the three main guys. They also interviewed the quarterback coach from Seattle and tight end coach from the Atlanta Falcons for the OC gig. But I would think that Bevel has a great chance, or is a guy that Stefanski would be really comfortable with. Obviously Kubiak, and Tommy Rees was here this last year. And, you know, you've already heard Tommy Rees's name before Vrabel was even hired in New England. I want to talk about Mike in a minute. But before Mike was even hired in New England, oh, maybe Vrabel will be taking Tommy Rees with him. There's one guy that I think is that can't be overlooked here, and it's Daryl Bevel. He's currently the quarterback coach, pass game coordinator for your Miami Dolphins. And Tua Tagovailoa has made some pretty nice strides under him. Obviously not when it comes to his health, because he still had issues there. But when Tua was healthy, they were doing okay. Their pass game situation wasn't good enough to keep Tyreek Hill from saying bye-bye in his mind. Doesn't mean he's going anywhere, but he said, you know, I'm out. Okay, great. But Bevel's interesting. He was with Stefanski in Minnesota for a good length of time and then went to Seattle where he won a Super Bowl. He was there for a long chunk with Pete Carroll. Went to Detroit, went to Jacksonville, and he was also an interim head coach in Detroit and in Jacksonville. But if he comes, let's just say Kevin offers him the job, and he decides, you know what, I want to be the offensive coordinator in Cleveland. You know what could be a factor, Andy?
What, calling plays? You tell me. What's the factor?
A homecoming for Daryl Bevel.
Oh, tell me about it, Jeff.
Daryl is from Arizona.
Yeah, so far, what's the homecoming?
And he went to college at Northern Arizona and then ended up being a starting quarterback for 4 years at Wisconsin.
Okay.
But he left Northern Arizona because he had to take a two-year mission for his church.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times you hear, you know, my mission was to Croatia. Mm-hmm. My mission was to Sudan. My mission was to Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Bevel's two-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints
here
was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
From 1990 to 1991. So think back 34 years. If there was a guy who knocked on your door, maybe it was Daryl Bevel.
Maybe.
I made Menigan laugh. My day is complete. Good night, everybody.
It's interesting. His.
See y'all later.
Nice. Did you see who his offensive coordinator was at NAU?
No.
Brad Childress.
Wait, what the hell just happened? He took us off the rails and you yanked us back out. Is this opposite thing?
I just don't like when
Did you say Fred Childress?
No.
You say Brad Childress?
I said Brad, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's great.
I always get, you know, when you start bringing up Big Sky Conference or former Big Sky, or yeah, Big Sky Conference teams, it always is intriguing to me.
That's great.
Well, because they throw the ball like crazy in that conference.
Do you think one of these guys, and I'm going to go ahead and say I don't know enough to tell you, do you think one of these guys is significantly on the outside? Yes, that's the guy you need to hire. I don't. You know, Tommy Reese is supposed to be a young up-and-coming football guru. Ask Nick Saban. That's great. Maybe you give him the job and he becomes your Ben Johnson. Daryl Bevel is 55. He's been around. He's very experienced. He's had some success in the league. Maybe he comes in and does what Jim Schwartz did for the defense. Same type of guy. You know, been around, veteran coach, long time, blah, 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 blah. And Clint Kubiak, maybe he's the next up-and-coming, you know, young offensive guy who's one good offensive year away from becoming a head coach somewhere. I just think Kevin Stefanski needs to figure it out, decide which one maybe best aligns with his ideas about, and not vision necessarily for this is the type of offense I want to run, but he has the same goals for an offense that I have and sees, you know, sees where we want to go with this thing and he can get us there. Kevin, pick one. Let's go. Right?
What's the hurry? I mean, if he thinks they're down to three and that's down to money and they can figure out what they want to do from there. Right?
It won't come down to money. Whoever's the leading candidate will get what he wants.
Unless they want to go somewhere else. They don't necessarily.
That could be.
But
sure.
The leading candidate, like, I just think it's weird when you're an offensive coordinator and you're walking into a position, is this offensive coordinator they're going to hire going to call the plays? That's my question. Are you going to call the plays?
That's a fine question.
If your definition of offensive coordinator to you and an upgrade in what you're doing in this career means that you need to call the plays, then obviously this may not be the spot.
You know,
I want to know what is it going to take for Kevin to say, okay, we're bringing in this guy and we are going to let him call the plays. This is what's important.
I think it comes down to a couple of factors. Number one, Kevin turned over the play calling duties and it went south in a hurry. And the time he turned it over was weird because he called the plays while Deshaun was the quarterback. The minute that Deshaun's not going to be the quarterback, he turns over the play calling duties to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me wonder, was there a strategy involved? Was there a difference of opinion on who should be the quarterback? I just wonder why that was the time to do it. And then I wonder this, and this to me I think is the biggest picture in the whole thing here. What did Kevin think when he wasn't calling plays?
I think he didn't know what to do with his hands. I think that was part of the problem.
You think that was it?
Yeah, it was like, he's like, should I put my hands in my pocket? Should I start wearing a hoodie so I can put my hands in there? Maybe I should get one of those little quarterback things to keep my hands warm where I can kind of just slide them in there and it hangs on my belt. I just like, Kevin looked lost when he wasn't calling plays.
See, I didn't think so.
He looked like a guy who was trying to figure out what he should be doing.
Well,
I say these from 5-second cutaways that we get from the network. But I think it's awkward.
By the time the season ended,
yeah,
I wonder if he thought, you know what, I can help.
I can help in
other areas. I liked the freedom to look at other things. I wonder.
I don't know. I wonder what did anyone ask him that in the postseason press conference? Like, how did your job change after you quit calling plays? Like, what was your game day responsibility? How did that change?
Well, he was the head coach. That was his game day responsibility.
Okay.
He was overseeing everything. I wonder if he liked it or if he hated it. And he thought, I'm going to call the plays. And that could determine who you get.
I think he's pretty good at calling plays. Like, I don't.
Oh, I think he's real good.
So I don't understand.
I think he's really good
for
at
him
it.
To give it up. To me, it sounds like it's an outside factor.
But
we brought Ken in here. Let's see what Ken can do. Let's give him a shot. Looks like the season's going down the drain anyway. What's the worst case scenario? We lose out and we get a higher draft pick. That almost feels like what the conversation was in the meeting when he decided to say, "Okay, let's give Ken a shot at calling the plays. Then we'll see what happens."
It. And I don't know the answer. I don't know if this is true. I just got the feeling that Dorsey was a shotgun marriage. And, you know, he was...
From who, though?
I don't know.
From who?
I don't think...
I can't see Barry giving Stefanski a shotgun marriage.
No, I can't either, but it just didn't feel right from, you know, Alex Van Pelt seemed like they were on the same page and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Daryl Bevel here, and you've been an offensive coordinator and you've called plays, are you going to give up your gig in Miami to come here to not call plays, to be an offensive coordinator again?
No.
I would think not. Unless you really want to get out of Miami.
Unless you don't like calling plays.
Unless it's like
being a producer, right?
Right. Well, and then if you're Clint Kubiak, are you going to come here to not call plays? I would think the answer to that is no, because you need to take that next step. If you're Tommy Rees, would you take the promotion to offensive coordinator in the National Football League after being an offensive coordinator at Notre Dame and Alabama? Because it's an offensive coordinator's gig, even if you're not calling the plays. Yes, he's the one that being the OC and not calling plays might be attractive to.
I'll buy that. I will buy every second of that. I'm not coming here as an offensive coordinator that doesn't get to call plays or without the hope of being able to call plays at some point or maybe shared responsibility throughout the season. Hey, you call the next. You call the next series. Well, I'll call this series. You call that. Especially if they're on the same page, it shouldn't matter too much. That you would think they'd be of one mind. What is it? They're a great thought partner. That's what it is.
I thought you were going Borg.
Oh no.
Going the full Borg on this thing.
I wasn't assimilating. No, not at all. Yeah. I can't do that. I wish Jeff knew what we were talking about. I am Borg. Just so you know,
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
There you go.
More Browns coming up a little later on in the show. Jamel White's going to join us at 1 o'clock, former Browns running back. Next, the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Fighting Irish from Notre Dame for a national championship 1 week from tonight. 1 week from tonight. I can't wait. Doug LeMaurice from Kings of the North, longtime veteran covering Ohio State, joining us next. Who wins the game and why with Doug on Baskin and Phelps?